Takeaway National Golf Club for the annual President's Cup here. President Donald Trump is deep in the rough on 14. He's two strokes up on the leaderboard over Barack Obama, who hasn't played quite as much golf as the current commander-in-chief, but he's up against a strong field in the final round here.
Dwight Eisenhower, a president by trade, belts of beauty far down the fairway.
Nixon told reporters, "I'm just fine, and I'm going to play good golf today."
Gerald Ford is known for keeping the crowd on its toes when he's playing golf.
I'd go play golf and it'd be five holes before I'd hit a good shot because I'd be so preoccupied.
Yeah, I don't like to take a lot of time playing the game.
It's not unusual for President Obama to go golfing away from the media glare.
To see him out there and hitting shots, and I mean, he hit it well.
We're very proud of golf and golfers.
I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Now watch this drive.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. Okay, that was a little fake sports news at the top there. We're not hosting the President's Cup Golf Championships at Takeaway National this year. But it could be true. You know, you have to search pretty hard in the history books to find a president who didn't golf. Teddy Roosevelt was too busy rough riding to play golf. Jimmy Carter, just not interested, basically. But you could fill a stack of scorecards with the golf-loving presidents. You heard just a few of them at the top there. Donald Trump's relationship with golf, though, is deeper than any other president's. It's also a lot more complicated. He owns 17 golf clubs here in the United States and abroad, stretching from Bedminster, New Jersey, to Ireland, to Scotland, and beyond. He spent more time than his golf-loving predecessor on the links as president so far, even though in the campaign, President Trump had this to say.
He played more golf last year than Tiger Woods.
Golf journalist Alan Shipnook recently wrote about that old trope, you can tell a lot about a person by how they play golf. So Shipnook found out just how President Trump plays the game that's so important to him and what it tells us about how he plays in business and in politics.
Now watch this drive.
Thanks, President George W. Bush. Alan Shipnook is senior writer at Sports Illustrated and columnist for golf.com. Alan, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I live and work a lot in Washington, and there's a key question around town that you might be able to answer. Not how Donald Trump plays, but how much does he play?
The short answer is a heck of a lot. You know, it's funny that the White House will not confirm his number of rounds of golf, even on days when he's seen with golf clubs in tow. Trump has turned golf into his little dirty secret, and part of it is because he was so critical of Barack Obama during the campaign for playing too much golf, and yet Trump is on a pace to play more than probably any modern president.
Let's focus on what the game means to him personally, when he plays, how he plays, and who he plays with. How important is the game and playing the game to President Trump?
Massively. It's really one of his only hobbies, and it's how he connects with his friends. It's how he networks. It's how he's always done business. We've seen that a little bit since he's been in office playing with the Prime Minister of Japan. And, you know, really for him, it's a chance to get away. And what's interesting is golfers like me, we lust after all the world's great golf courses. We have our list of all the places we want to play and we check them off. He only wants to play Trump golf courses. That's where he plays his golf. It's where he feels most at home, surrounded by people who have paid for the privilege of joining his club. And I think one of the keys to understanding Trump is that he's a striver from Queens, and he's always been obsessed with kind of the status markers of the ruling class. And, you know, he can buy the biggest, gaudiest house in Palm Beach and Mar-a-Lago, but he'll never get into Seminole Golf Club, which is a very old money, very discreet place. And same thing, you know, he would love to be a member of Pine Valley in New Jersey. They won't have him, so he has to build his own club, you know, in Bedminster. And you can go on down the list of the places he'd like to play. He can't get in, so he builds his own course or he buys one and redoes it in Trump fashion.
You write in your piece that President Trump doesn't play a round of golf so much as narrate it. What does that mean?
Well, he never stops talking. His commentary is peppered with hyperbole. Every little thing at his course he wants you to admire. So he'll say, "Are these the most beautiful cart paths you've ever seen? You know, it's just regular old asphalt. And is this the best hamburger you've ever tasted? It's just a hamburger, Donald." And of course, it extends down to the design of the course, the conditioning. He's a salesman at heart, right? That's what he was long before he was a politician. And so he can never quite turn that off. But to his credit, he lavishes attention upon his playing partners, whether they're professional golfers or they're reporters or they're old friends. And I talked to many people for this story who have played golf with Trump, And they all have the same experience. He is like the spotlight is trained on you when you're playing, and he's talking about your golf swing and your putting stroke, and he's asking about your family, and he's asking about your business, and he's bragging about the next deal he's going to do. And people who play golf with Trump almost always enjoy the experience, and they're somewhat energized by it. And he's a good player who gets into the spirit of the matches when they get tight, and he has a habit of making important putts in these matches. And I really didn't talk to anyone who said, oh, I hate playing golf with Trump. They might be exhausted by the experience at the end of it, but for the most part, they find it an enjoyable and somewhat unique kind of round of golf.
So you say Donald Trump is a good golfer. How good is he?
Well, officially, his handicap index is 2.8, which would put him in the probably top 1 or 2% of all golfers. Now, he hasn't posted a score this year. He's only posted a couple scores since 2014, so your handicap index updates every 2 weeks. So he's currently, you know, way behind the times. I think he's a solid golfer. He could break 80 on a lot of golf courses. It's hard to get an exact score for him because he takes a lot of liberties like most golfers do. He hits mulligans. He'll pick up a five-footer and call it a gimme. You know, he might roll the ball into a better lie on the fairway if it's in a divot or whatever. And that's common amongst golfers. It really is. So people want to use those facts to impugn his character, and it's a little bit of a stretch. But what's interesting about Trump is he'll do all those things, and then he'll insist he shot the score that he's claiming, and he'll go to his death defending that. And that's where it gets interesting, because it's almost like he doesn't acknowledge the gimmies and the mulligans and these other parts of his game. So it's a little window into his soul, how he sees himself, maybe how the rules are slightly malleable, and just how he conducts his business on and off the golf course.
I mean, I'm not much of a golfer. I duffed as a kid, and that's about it. We played on the public course in Hershey, Pennsylvania, next to Spring Creek. But how important is it to be faithful to the rules for golfers? I mean, is this a big deal? People have said in the campaign, well, Donald Trump cheats at golf. Is that really fair?
It's all about the context. So if your playing partners are taking the same liberties and they don't mind you doing that sort of thing, then it's kind of no harm, no foul. But, you know, one thing that's interesting about Trump is he claimed in a tweet a few years ago he's won 18 club championships. Now, a club championship is a serious deal. You can't roll the ball in the rough, and there are no mulligans in a club championship. And that's real competition where people take it very seriously, almost laughably seriously in some cases. And so, you know, I called all of the Trump properties and tried to confirm his club championships, and every single call went unreturned. It was like they didn't want the head pro didn't want to touch that one. So that again is part of the Trump legend. You know, has he really won 18 club championships? That would be an incredible achievement for a golfer. It's hard to really know. It's just another gray area that surrounds him.
Well, Alan Shipnook, you write a lot in this story about Donald Trump on and off the course. And we should leave it with a part of your story that you write extensively about, which are all of the international deals and courses that Donald Trump has built around the world. Because there's a good chance we might hear more about these in the future, especially with investigations that could be touching on President Trump's finances. You bring up one course in particular, a $63 million deal at Turnberry in Scotland. And you kind of warn in this piece that we might be hearing more about it.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Trump never puts his own money into a deal. He likes to do things on credit. And that's a perfectly fine way to build an empire if you can pay your loans back, which he hasn't always been able to in the past. But he bought Turnberry from a Dubai-based company called Leisure Corp. And the deal is not really had much public scrutiny to this point. But there's a confidant of Trump's who plays on his golf courses, who's a Wall Street guy, and he was able to examine a lot of the documents, and he told me this could be a problem. You know, there's foreign money involved here. The problem is that Trump has repeatedly said he doesn't have any loans from Russian banks, and he's made a lot of declarations about where the money has come from, and it might be at odds with the financing of the Turnberry deal.
Alan, that makes me want to ask you a question. As far as you know, does Special Counsel Robert Mueller play golf?
Yeah, he loves the game. And my SI colleague, Michael Bamberger, who was, you know, part of the reporting of this Trump piece, he's one of the few people on the planet who's played golf with both Donald Trump and Robert Mueller. And he said this guy Mueller is by the book. Everything he does adheres to the rules of golf. He putts out every two-footer. He recoils at the thought of a gimme. I mean, he's basically the polar opposite of Donald Trump as a golfer. And and probably as a person. So those contrasting styles might be very interesting as his investigation continues. Now, I don't think that Mueller's going to investigate Trump 68 at Bel Air, but I think he's going to get into a lot of other things. And it's too bad they couldn't just go out and play an 18-hole match and the winner would get to decide the future of the free world. But I think it's going to be a little longer, drawn-out process, but it's certainly going to be interesting to see what Mueller turns up.
Alan Shipnuck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, columnist for Golf.com. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.